Well, good evening and Merry Christmas to all of you. My name is Gordon Craig, and I do the music at Grace Reformed Baptist Church. And I would like to just introduce a few things to you about this service this evening. This is one of my favorite services of the year, the Festival of Lessons and Carols. It's a very simple service with its tradition in England. It's a service that was done, that began in 1918 in the Anglican Church. Later, it was adapted for King's College Choir at Cambridge University. And if you know Lessons and Carols, you're probably familiar with them through King's College. Every year, they are broadcast, the carols, in the afternoon here in the United States, usually live from King's College Chapel at Cambridge. And it's a service that's just very simple. It's scripture and music. And so tonight, as we look at this, the story of Christmas, we go back to the fall of man and look at God's plan for redemption throughout history. And so if you keep that in mind as we go along, listening to the passages of Scripture and then singing along on the carols that follow, the carol follows the theme of the Scripture that has been read. So through music, through Scripture, we hope to have a better understanding or maybe a bit of a different experience in our understanding of Christmas and what it is that we're celebrating this year. Just a couple of things about the service. If you'll notice, later on we're going to actually light some candles. You brought some candles in with you. They were at the back door. And the way that's going to work is there are three men that are going to light the candle on the end of the rose. And if you would, after your candle is lit, light the person next to you until everybody has their candle lit. We'll be singing Silent Night during the lighting of the candles. So make sure that you have plenty of room. We'll keep those lit until the end of the service. And you may think that there's not much to those candles. They might burn out before we're finished, but hang tough. I think it'll be okay. And try to keep them away from hair. We were in a service, my wife and I lived in Saudi Arabia for a number of years, and we had a candlelight service, and one of the little boys caught a little girl's hair on fire during the service, so quite interesting. So be careful with them, especially with the children. I want to thank you all for coming and being here tonight as we celebrate together, and we'll begin our worship, our Christmas Eve Festival of Lessons and Carols.
Once in day, royal David's city stood all the cattle shed, where a mother laid her baby in a manger for his
heads in prayer. Almighty God, who having created all worlds and mankind, has profoundly pitied us, who has come to us that we might be saved, not of our merit, but of your unquenchable love. Look on us who worship in comfort, in light and warmth, in health and prosperity, in pride and in presumption. For having all glory, you became incarnate in the dishonor of a defeated line of kings. Having all riches, you became incarnate in the poverty of the working class. Having all illumination, you became incarnate in the darkness of night and obscurity. Having all wisdom, you became incarnate in the confounding simplicity of a child. Having all life, you became incarnate in the weakest form of human life, a male infant. Help us to recognize our shame, our poverty, our darkness, our foolishness, our emptiness, our weakness, that we may know our need of you, and then become incarnate in us. And when we depart from this place, O Lord, let us depart in peace, full of the vision of your salvation, ready to make it plain before all the faces of earth. We pray these things in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Lesson comes from Genesis chapter 3. It's entitled The Fall. Hear the word of the Lord. Now the serpent was more crafty than any other beast of the field that the Lord God had made. And he said to the woman, "Did God actually say, 'You shall not eat of any tree in the garden?' And the woman said to the serpent, "We may eat of the fruits of the trees in the garden." But God said, "You shall not eat of the fruit of the tree that is in the midst of the garden, and neither shall you touch it, lest you die." But the serpent said to the woman, "You will not surely die. For God knows that when you eat of it, your eyes will be opened, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil." And so when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was a delight to the eyes, and that the tree was to be desired to make one wise, she took of its fruit and ate. And she also gave some to her husband who was with her, and he ate. And then the eyes of both were opened, and they knew that they were naked. And they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves loincloths. And they heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And the man and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees in the garden. But the Lord God called to the man and said to him, "Where are you?" And he said, "I heard the sound of you in the garden, and I was afraid, because I was naked, and I hid myself." He said, "Who told you that you were naked? Have you eaten of the tree of which I commanded you not to eat?" The man said, The woman whom you gave to be with me, she gave me the fruit of the tree, and I ate." The Lord God said to the woman, "What is this that you have done?" The woman said, "The serpent deceived me, and I ate." And the Lord God said to the serpent, "Because you have done this, cursed are you above all livestock and above all beasts of the field. On your belly you shall go, and dust you shall eat all the days of your life. I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your offspring and her offspring. He shall bruise your head, and you shall bruise his heel." This is the word of the Lord.
Second lesson, the sacrifice of Isaac. After these things, God tested Abraham and said to him, "Abraham," and he said, "Here I am." He said, "Take your son, your only son Isaac, whom you love, and go to the land of Moriah and offer him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains of which I shall tell you." So Abraham rose early in the morning, saddled his donkey, and took two of his young men with him and his son Isaac. And he cut the wood for the burnt offering and arose and went to the place of which the Lord had told him. On the third day, Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place from afar. And then Abraham said to his young men, "Stay here with the donkey, and I and the boy will go over there and worship and come again to you." And Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it on his son Isaac. And he took in his hand the fire and the knife. So they went, both of them together. And Isaac said to his father, Abraham, "My father." And he said, "Here I am, my son." And he said, "Behold, the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for a burnt offering?" Abraham said, "God will provide for himself the lamb for a burnt offering, my son." And so they went, both of them together. When they came to the place of which God had told him, Abraham built the altar there and laid the wood in order and bound Isaac his son and laid him on the altar on top of the wood. Then Abraham reached out his hand and took the knife to slaughter his son. But the angel of the Lord called to him from heaven and said, "Abraham, Abraham." And he said, "Here I am." He said, "Do not lay your hand on the boy or do anything to him, for now I know that you fear God, seeing you have not withheld your son, your only son, from me." And Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him was a ram, caught in a thicket by his horns. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered it as a burnt offering instead of his son. So Abraham called the name of that place, "The Lord will provide." And as it is said to this day, "On the mount of the Lord it shall be provided." This is the word of the Lord.
Third lesson, Isaiah chapter 9, verse 2 and 6 through 7. The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who dwelt in a land of deep darkness, on them has light shone. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and of peace there will be no end, on the throne of David and over his kingdom, to establish it and to uphold it with justice and with righteousness, from this time forth and forevermore. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will do this. This is the word of the Lord.
Thank you.
Reading comes from the book of Micah, chapter 5, verses 1 through 5. Now muster your troops, O daughter of troops. Siege is laid against us. With a rod they strike the judge of Israel on the cheek. But you, O Bethlehem, Ephrathah, who are too little to be among the clans of Judah, for you shall come forth from me, one who is to be ruler in Israel, whose coming forth is from old, from the ancient of days. Therefore he shall give up them until the time when she who is at labor has given birth. Then the rest of his brothers shall return to the people of Israel, and he shall stand and shepherd his flock in the strength of the Lord, in the majesty of the name of the Lord of God. And he shall dwell secure, for now he shall be great to the ends of the earth, and he shall be their peace. This is the word of the Lord.
Lord, Reading number 5, Luke 1, 26 through 35. The birth of Jesus foretold. In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph, of the house of David. And the virgin's name was Mary. And he came to her and said, "Greetings, O favored one, the Lord is with you." But she was greatly troubled at the saying, and tried to discern what sort of greeting this might be. And the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. He will be great, and he will be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give to him the throne of his father, David. And he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end." And Mary said to the angel, "How will this be, since I am a virgin?" And the angel answered her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be called Holy, the Son of God." And Mary said, "Behold, I am the servant of the Lord, let it be according to your word." And the angel departed from her. This is the word of the Lord.
Number 6, Matthew chapter 1, verses 18 through 25, the birth of Jesus Christ. Now the birth of Jesus Christ took place in this way. When his mother Mary had been betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found to be with child from the Holy Spirit. And her husband Joseph, being a just man and unwilling to put her to shame, resolved to divorce her quietly. But as he considered these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, "Joseph, son of David, do not fear to take Mary as your wife, for that which is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins." All this took place to fulfill what the Lord has spoken by the prophet, "Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel," which means God with us. When Joseph woke from sleep, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded him. He took his wife, but knew her not until she had given birth to a son, and he called his name Jesus. This is the word of the Lord.
In those days that they went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that the whole world should be taxed, and all should be taxed, everyone in his own city. And Joseph also went out to the city of Galilee, into Nazareth, into the city of David, which was called Bethlehem, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was, while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son, wrapped in swaddling clothes, and laid him in the manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. And in the same country, shepherds were abiding in the fields, keeping watch over the flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord surrounded about them, and they were sore afraid. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for I bring you tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. You shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger." And so it was. And suddenly there was a great multitude of heavenly hosts, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace goodwill to men to whom he is pleased."
Thank you. Our eighth lesson comes from Matthew chapter 2, the visit of the wise men. Now, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea, in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem, saying, "Where is he who has been born king of the Jews? For we saw his star when it rose, and have come to worship him." And when Herod the king heard this, he was troubled, and all of Jerusalem with him. And assembling all the chief priests and the scribes of the people, he inquired of them where the Christ was to be born. And they told him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for so it is written by the prophets, 'And you, O Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah. For from you shall come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel.'" Then Herod summoned the wise men secretly and ascertained from them what time the star had appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem, saying, "Go and search diligently for the child. And when you have found him, bring me word that I too may come and worship him." After listening to the king, they went on their way. And behold, the star that they had seen when it rose went before them until it came to rest over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced exceedingly with great joy. And going into the house, they saw the child with Mary his mother, and they fell down and worshipped him. Then, opening their treasures, they offered him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh. And being warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they departed to their own country by another way. Now when they had departed, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream and said, "Rise, take the child and his mother and flee to Egypt, and remain there until I tell you, for Herod is about to search for the child to destroy him." And he rose and took the child and his mother by night, and departed to Egypt and remained there until the death of Herod. This was to fulfill what the Lord had spoken by the prophet, "Out of Egypt I called my son." Then Herod, when he saw that he had been tricked by the wise men, became furious. And he sent and killed all the male children of Bethlehem and all the region who were 2 years old and under, according to the time that he had ascertained from the wise men. Then was fulfilled what was spoken by the prophet Jeremiah. A voice was heard in Ramah, weeping and loud lamentation, Rachel weeping for her children. She refused to be comforted because they are no more. This is the word of the Lord.
Tonight's lesson, the Gospel of John, chapter 1, verses 1 through 14. Hear the word of the Lord. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to bear witness about the light that all might believe through him. He was not the light, but came to bear witness about the light. The true light, which gives light to everyone, was coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, yet the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own people did not receive him. But to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we have seen his glory, glory as of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. This is the word of the Lord. Take your Bibles and turn with me briefly to the Gospel of Luke. The Gospel of Luke. You need not worry, I will not be preaching long, but I do want to draw your attention to the real purpose of this service and its format. And I think nowhere in Scripture do I see that personally more clearly than in the account we have here from Luke 24 about the resurrected Christ. This is Christ speaking to his disciples after his resurrection and prior to his ascension here in Luke chapter 24. Now I'm going to pick up in verse 24 here of Luke chapter 24 and read several passages from this great chapter. Luke chapter 24, verse 24. Some of those who were with us went to the tomb and found it just as the women had said, but him they did not see. Now, of course, he's speaking with some disciples along the road to Emmaus who do not recognize him at this point as the Christ, as Jesus Christ, the one that they've spent 3 years with. In verse 25, and he said to them, O foolish ones and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Was it not necessary that the Christ should suffer these things and enter into his glory? And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he interpreted to them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. He calls these disciples foolish because of their thinking. He says very clearly to them, was it not necessary that the Christ should suffer these things and enter into glory? This was nothing new. This was to be expected. In fact, the prophets had spoken of this for thousands of years, going all the way back to Genesis, as we read this evening in Genesis chapter 3. And then in verse 44, after he has revealed himself to them, Then he said to them, "These are my words that I spoke to you while I was still with you, that everything written about me in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms must be fulfilled." Then he opened their minds to understand the scriptures and said to them, "Thus it is written that the Christ should suffer and on the third day rise from the dead, and that repentance and forgiveness of sins should be proclaimed in his name to all nations, beginning from Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things." I've said many times, if there was ever a point in the life of Christ where I would have loved to have been, it was right here. Literally taking open the scriptures. And it says here, everything in the law of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms. We know that as the Old Testament, all 39 books. Of course, the law of Moses being the Torah, the first five books. The prophets being what we consider the major and minor prophets. And of course, the Psalms being the books of wisdom and poetry. And what Christ did is he opened it for them, it appears very clearly here, and he taught them how to read the scriptures. How to read the Old Testament. I had a professor in college once, and it took me years to agree with him. And he said that the Old Testament is a messianic book with a messianic focus, with a messianic hope. It is a Christian document. So often we look at the Old Testament and we look at it as something that's Jewish, that maybe we have to learn Hebrew and we have to become Jewish in order to understand it. Yet the Old Testament is Christian. It's pointing to Christ. It's pointing us to the baby in Bethlehem. And if we see it any differently, I must say we've read it wrongly. Literally every page of the Old Testament, yes, written primarily to a Jewish audience, is pointing to a Christ that is the Savior of the world. This was never something that the Jews were to keep under a rock or to keep to themselves. It doesn't take you long to read the Old Testament to see that he is to be the hope of the nations, of the Gentiles. He was never intended to be just the hope for the Jews. And so we see in Christ the fulfillment of all of the desire of the nations, as we sung today, and actually two hymns, the desire of the nations. The late, great James Montgomery Boyce, who was the pastor at the historic 10th Presbyterian Church in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, used to say that his title of the Old Testament, and he took it from Genesis chapter 22, when young Isaac looks at his dad, and he says to his dad, "You know what? We have the wood, but where's the lamb? Where's the lamb?" And James Montgomery Boyce used to say that the title of the Old Testament is "Where's the Lamb?" Every page, every single passage, I challenge you, read it and ask yourself the question, "Where's the lamb?" Because it's pointing us to the lamb. To the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world, as John the Baptist, the greatest and final prophet, proclaimed. The greatest and final prophet, that is, prior to Christ. Because it's in Christ that we see the fulfillment of, as Jesus himself has said, all of the Old Testament. And one of the most beautiful ways that the Scripture reveals this truth is in the three anointed offices of the nation of Israel. Three anointed offices. The prophet, the priest, and the king. You see, there is not one individual in all of the Old Testament that fulfilled all three. Not one. You could make an argument that Adam did initially, but he did a mighty poor job of it. But Christ ultimately perfectly fulfills all three offices. Of the prophet, the one who speaks to us and reveals the will of God to us, you need not look any further than Christ. He is the prophet, the only prophet we need, revealed in the scriptures. He is our priest, the one who offered himself up as the final sacrifice. There's no need for any other sacrifice. There's no need for us to try to be righteous before God. We will fail. Isaiah says that his righteousness are like filthy rags. I've said this many times, and not to offend, but Isaiah in the context there was talking about a menstrual cloth. That's how wretched his righteousness and attempts for righteousness were. Yet Christ is our perfect priest. He intercedes for us to this day. We don't need to go to a priest down the street. We don't need to go anywhere other than to Christ. And finally, He's our King. He's our King. He's the one who rules over us. He's the one who provides for us. The ancient king provided everything that the people needed. All they needed to do was to submit to him. Let's just hope he was a good king. And in England, what's the national anthem to this day? God Save the Queen. Because if the queen is good, everything's good. Americans don't understand this, do we? We have this love-hate relationship with monarchies. We're obsessed with them when kids are born and when people are getting married. Other than that, we don't want anything to do with them, right? But that's the truth. But there is something, I think, within us that desires a king. Look at 1 Samuel chapter 8 if you want to see what I'm talking about. Because Israel demanded a king. They wanted somebody that they could see, touch, and feel. They wanted someone to rule over them. We will bow down to someone or something. I promise you that. Romans 1 is very clear about that. We will bow down to somebody. But may we do so, may we bow down as the wise men did to the child in Bethlehem. You know, when they arrived, they knew this was someone that was greater than a king. They knew this was somebody that was greater than anything that they had ever seen, even though they came from a distant land. Why? Because the Bible says that we came to worship Him. We came to worship Him. And so this evening, I want to encourage each one of you to look at Christ. Christ is the fulfillment of all of our hopes. There is absolutely no truth outside of Christ. All truth originates in Him and Him alone. All hope. There is no hope outside of Christ. If you're looking for hope in any other person, institution, anything, I promise you this. I promise you this. You will be disappointed. And to a degree that this, you'll never know even in this world. Yet if you look to Christ as a source of hope, I promise you this, He will fulfill it, all of your hopes, and infinitely more. In the Old Testament, all three of these offices were called anointed, because in Hebrew, the word to anoint comes from the root meaning to pour. To pour. Why? Because when each one of these offices or a man took the office and he was instituted into that office, they would pour oil over him. We have these beautiful images of the oil coming down the beard of David, don't we? We see Jesus Himself is anointed, is He not? Why? To show that He's the fulfillment of the anointed offices. I love Psalm 23. David says, He anoints my head with oil. Because Christ Himself is anointed, and He is our righteousness. He anoints us. He anoints our head with oil. We don't look anywhere else for that anointing. I often hear people say, he or she is anointed. I promise you, if you are a Christian, you are anointed. And you need not look any further for anyone any more anointed than you are. Because I can promise you, there's no anointing any of us can have that's greater than the anointing that comes from Christ. And so, again, I encourage you, this Christmas season, look to Christ. Look to Christ for your hope. Look to Christ for everything. And if you bring even this evening to this church service, sorrow, suffering, I know it seems there's been a lot of that lately in the circle of influence that I'm in. Funerals that I've been to. Only Christ can heal that as well. And so I encourage you, just as the wise men did 2,000 years ago, bow before Christ, our sovereign prophet, priest, and king. Let us pray. Father, we give You thanks for this evening, for this time of year when we can focus on the birth of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I pray, Father, that You would draw each of us to Him. And Father, if there be any here who do not know You, that this would indeed be the day of salvation. And they would put their faith in Christ and in Christ alone. In whose name we pray. Amen.
Please bow with me in prayer. Loving God, redeeming Son, sustaining Spirit, we come here tonight rejoicing in our hearts at what this season means. And Lord, we realize nowhere in Scripture are we commanded to celebrate the birth of our Savior. And yet, Lord, we also realize the tremendous impact that this event had. Because, Lord, it demonstrated your fulfillment of prophecy. Lord, throughout the Torah, you kept proclaiming the one who was to come. And, Lord, we realize you fulfilled your promises. He came and he lived a life of complete dedication and devotion to accomplishing what you had required of him. He became that perfect lamb, that sinless person, Lord, who was the ultimate sacrifice to take away the sins of the world. And most wonderfully, Lord, he did it while we were yet sinners. We didn't have to get our act together before it could be accomplished. Lord, you did it for us. And therefore we realize the marvelous beauty of your grace in that you truly love us and you desire that we be a part of your family. Lord, we're thankful tonight that these two congregations can come together, that we can celebrate as the body of Christ this wonderful event. And we just give you all praise and glory. And I pray that as we go to our homes, that we will let what's been said here tonight, what's been sung here tonight, take root in our hearts, and that we will continue to rejoice and celebrate with our families this sacred and precious time. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, we pray and ask these things. Amen.
Receive the Christmas blessing. May the one who by his incarnation gathered into one things earthly and heavenly fill you with the sweetness of inward peace and goodwill, and the blessing of God, the love of Christ, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit remain with you always. Go forth in peace and in joy. Thanks be to God. Happy Christmas to all of you.